This episode is sponsored by Interactive Brokers. And are you looking for your next investment opportunity? Well, with Interactive Brokers' Global Analyst Tool, it's going to help you uncover hidden opportunities in the global stock market. With its unique features like the World Data Screener, you can precisely pinpoint undervalued stocks by comparing prices and financial metrics of global stocks all in the same currency. Plus, the World Map Screener allows you to quickly find stocks that meet your specific financial criteria. And that's across a universe of global equities. Imagine the advantage of making better investment decisions with powerful tools at your fingertips. Don't miss out on your next great investment. Experience the power of IBKR Global Analyst for free. Yes, that's for free today at IBKR.com/global analyst. Because the best informed investors choose Interactive Brokers.
The disciplined investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Bitcoin, it's a new record. Inflation, much stickier than we thought. The red sweep is confirmed. Republicans are in control. And our guest today is Kerry Lutz, from the Financial Survival Network. All this and much more on episode number 895 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. What fun. A slippery slope up and down. Hey, Andrew Horowitz. I'm in the studio, the redone studio here in downtown Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in the offices of Horowitz & Company with a little bit of a scratchy throat that's been here for the last week. I think I'm just very dry. You know, really, it's getting dry down here. The humidity's gone. I think a little maybe dehydrated for playing too much damn pickleball. But we're talking about investing. And what kind of investing are we talking about here? We're talking about disciplined investing. I mean, what is that? Right? We talk about that all the time. Well, I would say it's a mindset. It's a plan. It's what we do here each and every week. It's what we talk about. We hone our skills. We listen to the experts. Some we agree with. Some we don't. Some we take issue with and we can't stand. Some we like, well, we love. Right? And with that, it's important to understand that with this, there's a lot of views out there. There's a lot of information, but one of the things we have to realize is there's many facts, not opinion, but facts that we need to really pay attention to. Things that we really need to focus in on that we hear and what we can take from all of that, the ideas from the guests, their opinions, and the facts, we can do our best to make our own opinions so that we can be in control of our own destiny, our own financial security, our own future. That is what we do here every week. And thank you for being a part of it. And thank you and thank yourselves for making sure that you are going to be financially secure. It's important. Each of the factors that we talk about, the views that we have, the things that go on, it's really, I think, essential to have the skills that are available in order to discern what is the fact, what is the fiction, what is the truth, what is the untruth, what is the alternative facts. Because if we just spend our time listening to these quote-unquote experts and then just simply implementing what they say without thinking for ourselves and just leech on what they say, the truth is it can be problematic. They tell us about a stock, they tell us about a sector, a financial condition of a country. We need to have the tools in our tool chest, in our financial tool chest, to make sure we understand what it is that is going on so we can make those ever so important decisions today that will impact us 25 years from now. And not just go along with what they're telling us at this brokerage, that brokerage. Not, oh yeah, you know, this is what everybody's doing right now. It's all the rage, so you should do it too. It may not fit. Just because everybody's wearing 8-inch stilettos doesn't mean you have to play basketball in those. Doesn't mean you have to get in them. Just because everybody's back to wearing leisure suits doesn't mean you have to. I'm not going to. But nonetheless, we're here to get an education. And I want to remind you of that time and time again, because that is what is important of what we do here every week. Let's talk about a couple of things before we get to our guests. I want to talk about Bitcoin. How about that? Big move. Popped above, what, 93,000 for a minute there? And how about those pot stocks that moved on Wednesday? We saw President-elect Trump nominate Matt Gaetz, of all people, to be Attorney General. And then he is said to be a proponent of legalizing marijuana. So, stocks jumped. Or how about when Dogecoin went vertical? Why? Well, when Musk was tapped for some position in the government that doesn't even exist. So I don't want to say investors are suckers, because you know what? You can make a lot of money making these kinds of decisions. But right now, there is an incredible amount of, I don't know, what would you call it? Just speculation? Just excitement, FOMO, belief in something that may or may not be happening, desire to just get in before we even know what the information really is. But don't get FOMO. Don't get caught up in this. Nope. There's no reason to get whipsawed. I mean, we have so much information coming in right now. It's very difficult to really discern what's going to happen, because not all of this is going to come to fruition. We have a long way to go, peeps. My peeps, you. Let's be patient. And maybe that should be the word of the day. Week, month, semi-annual. We should be patient. Inhale. Exhale. It's not worth it getting all crazy about all this before we really know how it's going to all turn out. I thought we'd take a minute to get and talk about inflation without getting too deep into it, because the latest inflation number, well, we know. Suffice to say that it tells a story that we already knew. We've all talked about this time and time again on the show. Prices are at all-time highs. If we look into the raw prices, inflation numbers, you know, really on a month-to-month basis, year over year, not much improvement lately. Not really anything that I could say is definitively yes. We are back into a deflationary, disinflationary process. No, we're stuck. And everything that I see that President-elect Trump is talking about, it looks inflationary to me. So we're stuck with it right now for a while. The good news, there's, I think, plenty of ways to keep ahead of that. Plenty of ways to invest, plenty of ways to think, plenty of ways to do, plenty of ways to act in order to make sure that we don't have any problems when it comes to our long-term success when faced with the inflationary pressures that we're seeing. So probably what we should do is cut over to our guest, because I think he has a few things to say about that. And our guest today is Kerry Lutz. A little bit to know about Kerry is, after graduating from the New York Law School, he became an attorney and lifelong serial entrepreneur. His diverse career has included running a legal printing company, practicing commercial law and litigation, and founding a successful distressed asset investment company. 2010, he gave it all. Pretty much said, you know what? I want to pursue this desire I've had to become a radio show host. And he created what is known as the Financial Survival Network. And his mission is helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. He's had lots of great guests on, and I welcome him back to our show. So welcome, Kerry. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, and thanks for that intro. I also am now doing a little stand-up comedy, and I call myself America's top recovering attorney.
Oh, boy, that's good. Yeah, yeah, I left that long. What do they say? What's the difference between there's a lot of attorney jokes out there, aren't there?
Yeah, well, you know, how many lawyers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Only one, because when it comes to giving a good screwing, lawyers don't need any help.
What was the other one? What's the difference between a car accident that has a dead snake and a dead attorney?
I know this one, but go ahead. Yeah,
the dead snake has tracks, stopping tracks behind it or in front of it.
Skid marks.
Yeah, skid marks. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, they did a study recently, the Bar Association.
Yeah.
And would you believe that 9 out of 10 lawyers admitted to billing their clients while going to the bathroom? And to me, it was no shock because I did some of my best billing on the throne. But the next time your lawyer gives you a line of BS, don't get upset because you already paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right, let's talk about what's going on out there in terms of a lot of things going on out there. But let's talk about the elections are in the past. You know, hopefully, I guess the big question is aside from the fact of the initial reaction, let's get past that. Let's not talk about this. It's about a week ago or so, right? Do elections matter to the markets anymore? Is it really a big thing? Is it something that we really need to pay attention to? We can say yes, we can say no, right?
Well, here's the thing. Ordinarily I'd say, who cares? In this case, you got a guy who effectively, he's a lame duck going in, can't run for another term, but he knows literally, and we're talking about politics here, where all the bodies are buried, right?
Oh, he buried some of them.
They're buried. And going in there, it's not like he needs somebody to show him where the White House bathroom is,
where
the Oval Office bathroom is. He knows. So unlike most guys that take like time to get settled in, he'll go in there with a stack of 1,000 executive orders ready to go. Just, he'll be signing them. He'll be the first robo signer in chief, you know?
Yeah.
He's just signing everything.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, if he learned from a mistake, hopefully learned from mistakes from last time, right? It is a little bit different than, slightly different than a second term president, right? In that, that just kind of keeps going, right? There's no pomp and circumstance. It just keeps going. Whereas this is kind of like, okay, there's things I wanted to do, things that obviously didn't go well. We'll call it COVID interruptus with Trump, right? I mean, he had doing his thing, sure. And then all of a sudden he got smacked in the face with COVID in terms of, shutting down the world. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, what could be better than this is kind of like, okay, if we're playing golf, this would be a mulligan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So
this is a do-over.
It's definitely a do-over. So the question then is back to this. Now, one thing in this election we know is that generally speaking, it's a much more friendly environment in terms of Congress and the White House, right? No, we don't have a gridlock here. So a lot more things can get passed than in certain circumstances. I still don't know if we're going to have no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime. It seems a little absurd. 93 million people not getting taxed. I mean, your thoughts on that?
He also last talked about getting rid of the income tax altogether, which, makes a lot of sense. We collectively spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year, not just on income tax, but on beating the income tax, minimizing your taxes. So if there could be a way to dump that and go to a national sales tax and tariffs, that could unleash something like we haven't seen in this country in in a couple centuries.
I mean, it put a lot of people out of work, though. There's a consumption tax, which is a tariff, right? A tariff is a consumption tax. Would we agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So you have a consumption tax, and then some other kind of, I don't know what, sales tax, which is the same thing as a tariff. Tariff, sales tax, it's consumption tax. I think it's all interchangeable, those terminologies. You know, that makes it a very easy system. Yet at the same time, you have to wonder who then plays God with the pricing. Right now, is a tractor a 15%? Is it from the U.S. versus Europe / Canada / Mexico? Is a shirt 5%? 10% from somewhere else, 15% from somewhere else. You know, you got to wonder, how does that work?
Yeah, well, look, is it any more effort to figure that out than it is to write new regulations every year, giving the IRS more and more power over your life? What's easier? I think it's easier to just figure out how much everything gets taxed and leave it, and then it's neutral. It's there for everyone. It doesn't matter if you have lobbyists spending $1 trillion to get you a better tax deal. You know what? You got a national sales tax. If you buy this, if you buy a car, it's 15%. If you buy a dog, it's 5%. And then everybody knows where they stand. With the problem with the income tax is, even if you think you're doing everything right, some agent comes along and says, no, you didn't dot that I properly. That's not a dot, that's a cross. And that looks like a circle on your T. Give us $10,000.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, right? It would cut out that. It would save a ton of money in expenditures in IRS. We'll also save a ton of money in expenditures. It could be a lot more recovering as CPAs that are going to be competing for your space at the stand-up. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be an issue. But at the same time, it's also very much, it's easier, right? It's done. So every time you buy something, your tax is paid. Done. Thank you. Now, what's also interesting, let me throw this out at you, is the fact that now, more than, let's say, I don't know, 10 years ago, right? 20 years ago, it'll be easier to do this because 20 years ago, there's a lot more cash in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Today, everything is much more electronically paid some way or another.
Exactly.
If there's cash, you could always slip it and say, thank you, this never happened. Electronics and, investing, not investing, buying on that mechanism forces the receipt, we'll call it, which then would force the consumption tax.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. So, yeah. Well, enforcement's a lot easier now with technology. And I just see the opportunity here. It's like you still have the filibuster in the Senate, which I think is a good thing because that stops any party from totally exacting its will. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you can put all this stuff through reconciliation because that doesn't require a supermajority in the Senate. So opportunities there. Will it happen? I've learned to never really expect anything wonderful happening from a change of administration. I've just been disappointed. You know, my first guy I voted for was Jimmy Carter in 76. Mm. That's how old I am. And it's gotten worse. Ever each guy after him, Reagan was kind of a breath of fresh air, a reprieve, a two-term reprieve. And then it's just consistently gotten worse from that point on.
Right. I hear you. So, you know what? So what I know, I'll give you a punchline here, right? I know what you do. I know what you do to protect yourself. I'm going to talk about that in a second. I want to take a quick break, and I want to get back to what I know Kerry Lutz has done in the past and what he likes and what has actually worked out pretty well for you recently. So hang on a second. And let's get back to our good friends at Interactive Brokers, because I want to talk about why Interactive Brokers has key competitive advantages for sophisticated investors like you. IBKR's margin loan rates are from just 5.08% to 6.08%, rated among the lowest margin fees by stockbrokers.com. You can compare IBKR's low margin borrowing cost to other brokers like Schwab or E-Trade, Fidelity, and even Vanguard, who charge hundreds of basis points more. Of course, Rates are subject to change. Margin is only for the experienced investor with high risk tolerance. Remember that. You may lose more than your initial investment. The best advice for investors, choose Interactive Brokers. Go to ibkr.com/compare. And we're back with Kerry Lutz. What I left off with was the idea of, hey, how does Kerry, and what does he discuss about protecting himself? When he talks to people on the Financial Survivor Network, we know this because I've known you for a long time. I've known you for 11, 12 years. You know that, right?
Yeah.
The first time you were on was like 2011 or so. You're a gold bug. You like gold. I don't mean to say that derogatorily. I have to say you like gold. You like you've dealt with it. You've invested in it. You've gone through the highs and lows. And now you're on a high and it's worked out.
Yeah, your stop clock is right to twice a day, right?
Well, the clock is on your time right now, buddy.
Hey, well, I still love the stock market. You know, I was having this discussion. You know, there has been no device, no creation that has generated the level and degree of wealth as the stock market has. And yes, we have inflation. Yes, our currency is somewhat in jeopardy, or maybe not in jeopardy, but it's definitely precariously perched. And still, the stock market goes up. So for some extent, stock market can be a hedge against inflation, as long as somehow you manage economic growth or the companies are growing. But, you know, having a little bit of gold and silver and crypto in your portfolio, 15%, call it that, is going to protect you. And I'm talking physical in-hand possession of the metals. You know, crypto, it's not worth the paper it's not written on, but it's got value in the blockchain. I think 15% alternative investments is going to serve you well in any kind of market.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, gold really started taking off a couple of years back. It was like dead for a while. It was like, everybody was thinking Bitcoin and Ether and all the other various cryptos that you have out there, that's going to be the new digital gold. And it kind of all of a sudden, it didn't necessarily one or the other, but gold really all of a sudden started picking up. Now, there's a lot of talk about China and India, their particular central banks, their governments buying a ton of it, which has helped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But the fact is that, you know, the debasement of our currency, the amount of debt that we have under whoever is going to be in charge these days is a travesty. And I think people recognize the fact that the potential for forget about inflation, the degradation of the value of their money and their funds and their investments is a real thing now. And there's no way to really get around the 7, 8, 10, pick your number, trillion dollars worth of debt on the books of the Fed and on the debt outstanding by the U.S. government. There's no way around it right now. And
no,
that's what they're doing, right? They're thinking of, I want something in my hand.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been that type of insurance policy for 5,000 years. And, you know, we've come up with all manner of alternatives. And look, cryptos have far outperformed the precious metals, any other investment in the past 12 years, mm-hmm, by a long shot. But in the end of the day, there's a certain comfort that comes from being able to hold your metal in your hands, you know,
mm-hmm,
and nothing's going to change that. So, yeah, the inflation is out of control. The printing press, the federal budget, all of that, you know, maybe Elon Musk can figure it out.
We'll see. But, you know, when you have the Financial Survival Network and, when I say that out loud, I think of survivalist. Now, is it, mm-hmm, you know, but I also start moving towards my mind starts moving towards images of a bunker and that, but that's not where you're at, right?
No, I live in like a urbanized area.
No, I get that. I know you're not living in a bunker now. You're not coming from right now. Kerry, coming from me. Kerry, can you hear me from 10 feet below? No, I know that. I get that. But you're not from a bunker mentality is what I'm saying.
No.
You're not like, hey, there's going to be bombs, there's going to be wars, there's going to be uprisings. I need to have gold because of, you know, that. You're talking about it from a strictly financial standpoint.
Yes, financial, strategic, diversified standpoint, especially now. Look, they, Andrew, I lived through like, you know, the 60s, 70s, and 80s where we had a high inflation environment. The problem is most of the people alive today, you know, they don't know what inflation is.
Yeah.
And they're getting a education very quick. You know, they just look at what's in their account, what's on their card, and how much stuff costs. And all of a sudden they said, oh, that's what my father told me about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. You know, we had this low inflationary environment, even though it's been understated for decades, it was still relatively low. 2-3%. Most people aren't going to notice it. Yeah, prices continually go up, but incomes went up. So people didn't understand. But what they don't understand is that you can't just wave a magic wand and inflation disappears. It goes through cycles. There are inflationary cycles. And generally, short of a deflationary depression, the cycles last a couple of decades each, you know? Mm-hmm. And we had it post-World War II, and then it kind of went away. Then we had Vietnam in the 60s, mm-hmm. came back, and it ended in the early 80s when Volcker gave us the luxury of double-digit interest rates. Mortgage on a house was like 15%. The corporate bonds were paying 20%, and nobody remembers this, you know? So it's just not going to go away. And in that type of environment, gold is going to perform better, but so is real estate. Any type of asset that you can buy that has a coupon or a return that you can raise your return on, meaning like real estate, you can raise rents. If you're leasing out airplanes or cars, you can raise your rental rate. Any asset that you can earn a return on is going to perform well in this case. Also, especially if you can leverage it, because your debt payments will remain constant. The people you're leasing it to are going to pay the debt, and you're going to get to keep increasing the rent, assuming you can find assets like that. Real estate, obviously, is the first that comes to mind, but there are others. And you're going to make more money even after inflation. Plus, the value of your asset is going to go up because it's going to be inflated up. So you get to pay your debt down in depreciated dollars, and you get to have more of those dollars as the income comes in. Thing is that, you know, you have to be careful because certain assets, you know, are volatile and they can have market declines, and you might not be able to get the return that you were hoping. But overall, that's the best strategy. Mm-hmm. Dividend paying stocks, perfect example of if the dividend's high enough and the rate of increase in the dividend is high enough, it's going to cover you for inflation.
Right. But the hope with all that is that it's above the inflation rate today and will continue to stay above the inflation rate. You know, you talk about 2% inflation rate that nobody feels. Why? Well, if you use the rule of 72, you just do a quick division. You're talking about round number 35 years for something to double in price at 2%. Yeah. At 8%, you know, you're talking about what? 9 years for something to double.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference. 30 years, 9 years, right? And that's why one thing is quite unnoticeable. It's like something that's like, oh, it's a little higher. And some things along the spectrum of products may inflate more than others. But mm-hmm. in the end, the truth is that what we're seeing now is higher prices. Inflation has come back a little bit. Here's the rub, though. Prices are not coming down. And some things are absurdly expensive. So when you have your inflation protection in your portfolio, it's not a one-time, one-month, one-year thing. It's really pretty much needs to be there. And that's where, just rolling back to what you said to the beginning, why the one of the greatest wealth mechanisms that was ever created was the markets, which really underneath it is only a very simple thing. It's entrepreneurial business and the drive that USA and the rest of the world, but I'm sticking on the US for a minute, that US businesses and entrepreneurs and founders have. And the belief that the continuation of finding great companies will happen time and time again. And it's not just the five or six stocks at the top that are great, but there's many others that are coming up with some really fascinating ideas that are either brand new or efficiency on something that maybe is old. And that's why we invest in the markets, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the economy is exactly where it was in the 90s before the internet revolution swept the world, except that inflation is high. And AI, I use it all the time, all right? All the time, writing things, analyzing things, planning trips. There's no major decision that I would consider making without at least checking with the AI to get its viewpoint, to get an analysis that I might not otherwise think of. And I feel for me, in the tasks that I do, not that they're monumental or earth-shaking, my productivity is probably up about 300 or 400%. I needed to write something, and I knew that I could write it better than the computer could write it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't even a question about it, Andrew, but it was like, I don't have the time to write it.
Oh.
Let me let this thing take first stab at it.
Uh-huh.
And it was basically an analysis of a certain, I call it the inflation cafe, an analysis of how much they've cut back on their reward program in the past 10 years and how much their prices have gone up in the past 10 years. And this article would have taken me a good 6-8 hours from start to finish. I got that thing done in less than half an hour.
Wow.
And not quite as good as I would have written, but I did put my own flourishes in it. I didn't like let the AI just write it for me. But the research, everything, the tables that I put together, it would have been 6 or 8 hours that it saved me, you know? And you just multiply that. Everybody, no matter what you're doing in the world, can benefit from this.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, I think that the generative AI and the ChatGPT. Listen, one of our podcasts that I do each and every week, DH Unplugged, I decided a few months ago to have AI-generated cover art for every single episode. Now, we had cover art always that we would do normally, right? But I said, What the hell? Let me get a whirl. Let me see what it's going to look like. Now, do I love all of the ones that it pops out? There's some weird things that it does, like some of the text that it does. When you say, hey, this DH, listen, you know, you put in all your parameters, it's DH Unplugged, episode number 580, whatever it is. Some of the text, it will say like DH Unplugged podcast or something like that. It's very strange with the text on how it does that. I don't know what that's all
it
about.
It ain't perfect.
But, you know, you just deal with that. But I can tell you that I've been using it. And now, I don't care if it's perfect. The whole point of it's an experiment. Mm-hmm. That's the point of this, right? It's not like I'm looking for the perfect cover art. I'm looking for good cover art. And last week's was a great example. Last 2 weeks, great example. Two people talking to each other different parts of the world, East Coast, West Coast. And we're talking about a particular topic and things like elections and things. And that's what it drew for me. It was really pretty fascinating. Pretty cool stuff.
Incredible.
Yep.
And, you know, like, you know, we've been likening the whole Trump getting reelected in non-consecutive terms to the reelection of Grover Cleveland in 1893. Mm. So I wonder what his transition was like in 1893. And you know what? It was so similar to the current admin. We had the panic of 1893 right after. Tariffs were an issue. Demonetizing gold. He signed that bill, which was very controversial. And there was a whole bunch of things that really paralleled our existing time that it would have been more challenging to figure it out. Could I have? Yes. But it saved me probably an hour worth of research to figure that out. I'm a researcher by nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always made my money and gotten my edge. And yeah, it's pretty amazing.
What are your thoughts on, because I've had some people, and I know this is something you've talked about, and you're a big fan of the markets, as am I. I mean, in certain,
love the markets.
There's certain things I love about it, certain things we hate about it, right? Let's be honest. Everybody's the same thing, right? There's certain, but there's some people that are really concerned about investing. And one of the reasons is they say, you know, it's rigged. It's rigged for the big guys.
Of course it's rigged.
Of course it's rigged. Now there's the point. Kerry, you know what I tell people? If I was to go to a casino with you, and I say, you see that slot machine there, Kerry, right there? That slot machine is rigged. What do you mean, you say to me? I say, it's rigged.
I'm shocked.
It's rigged.
I'm shocked.
Right, but it's rigged in favor of the players. As a matter of fact, it pays 10 times more than any other slot machine here. And you say to me, one of two things. One, I'm going to play like most people would. Or two, I don't want to play because it's rigged. Which one are you picking?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's rigged, that's where the opportunity really arises, because it's rigged in the short term, like everything else. It's not rigged long term because nobody looks long term anymore.
Well, nobody. Yeah, unfortunately, but it used to be. Well, I you know what? I'm going to push back on that for a second, because what I've actually noticed over the last few years, especially from COVID. Now, I've been at this for many years. What I seem to pick up is a difference in the attitude of people towards investing, where it was a lot more short term for a while. Mm-hmm. And then they realized that, you know, if COVID's not going to kill us, if COVID's not going to take away all our money, if the financial crisis isn't going to make me bankrupt, if this, you know, doing normal things, not just investing all your money in one bank, you know, but if that's not going to happen, what is it going to take for my portfolio to go to zero? What's it going to take? And if it's none of these things, then you know what? I can worry about the short term, but put it aside and think about the longer term. When I look at the long term aspect of how investments have done over a decade, two decades, three decades, and it goes from bottom left to top right. And I think about this idea that I'm not needing this money for 20 years. So what am I, why am I so worried about today? I think people have changed their attitude a bit.
Yeah, I do. But in terms of Wall Street, it's short-sighted.
No, it's very short-sighted. It's quarter to quarter.
And that's where the rig comes in. You know, they're rigging the futures, the options, you know, because that's what they do best. But they can't rig the long-term performance of a stock that is, you know, they can only nail it in the short term, generally. The U.S. government's the only one that can do long-term rigging. The banks cannot do it.
Yeah. And because they don't have the depth to make it through any of the problems where the rigging would happen. Whereas the government can create money. There's the outside answer to all of this, in that in the end, the governments around the world can create money. And as long as we all have the full faith and credit of the blank, blank country, we all believe that. And we all have that. So we're just all have to play that game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. You can't worry, in my opinion, you can't worry about the government, what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, because it just drives you nuts. And there's nothing you can do about it anyway.
Right.
So then you have to look and you have to say, well, how do I make money off of the stupidity of the government? Because there was a guy named Harry Brown. He was an economist. He wrote books, and he called government the accommodating loser. That's like when everyone's on the bad side of the trade, the government comes in to bail them out, right? When the government acts to reinforce a currency, they're the accommodating loser because they're buying up somebody that nobody else wants, right? So they're the accommodating loser. So how do you make money from the accommodating loser? The government loves for you to make money on real estate and for them to lose money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, tax-advantaged investing is playing off the government being an accommodating loser. Mm-hmm. The other way that you make money from the government's stupidity is, okay, you guys, you're going to pump up the money supply. We got $10 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet. Inflation as far as the eye can see. How about if I buy stocks and companies that are going to benefit from inflation and benefit from AI? You know who's benefiting like the most from AI now besides NVIDIA?
Who?
It's utilities, right?
Right. Well, the energy consumption requirements.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, they can't produce enough, which means electrical shortages. All right. I bought the stock in a company. It's not killing, it's not taking the world by storm, but minus dividends, it's about up 12, 15% in the past 5 months. They're in Northern Virginia, and guess who has all their AI data centers in
Northern
Virginia?
Government.
Can you guess?
Yeah.
And so maybe I won't get rich on the stock, but it's paying a 4 or 5% dividend, and it's and they're going to be, you have to make 2-year reservations to open a data center now in Northern Virginia because they don't have the power. I mean, what does that tell you?
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Let's finish it up with a question about, you know, these markets that are more frequently and more frequently being run by, as you told, Wall Street, but also, you know, foreign actors. I mean, there was a survey that came out recently, and over the last 2 years, more inflows from foreign, from foreigners in general, that could be governments, that could be individuals, more than has ever been seen in a 2-year period has come into the United States. You know, you wonder what's holding all this up.
This is great.
It's a lot of sovereign wealth funds. There's a lot of governments that can actually do. We had a show that we talked about all the different governments that actually have investments in stocks. Now, supposedly the U.S. doesn't, but okay, we'll let that go for a second. Is there any room left in the market for the individual investor?
Sure. That's to the benefit because, you know, Martin Armstrong's examined the flow of funds around the world, and now that flow is going to pick up after this election, by the way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just so you know.
Okay.
Will pick up. And that, because you can't just look at the United States in a vacuum. You have to look at the rest of the world and how the systems interact and the instability of Chinese banks. You know, a lot of that is Chinese money that's flooding here because, as you know, I always say that the U.S. dollar is the best looking house in Baltimore, you know?
Sorry, Baltimore.
Yeah, right. Not really. It's true. But, you know, basically the U.S. looks bad, except when you look at everywhere else in the world. So a lot of that is flight capital because you know what's happening in China, how bad things are.
Yeah.
Way worse than here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are blessed because we got the world's reserve currency. But if we keep going the way we're going, we are not going to have the world's reserve currency. There won't be one. There will be a bunch of competing cryptos, which maybe is the best thing in the long run. Competing currencies, choice, you decide where, how you hold your wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the foreign thing, but that is a vote of confidence or a vote of non-confidence in their own markets. And that's reinforcing it. And that's why we can run these deficits. And nobody seems to care one way or the other, Andrew, right?
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, we know that there'll be, I think there's going to be a day of reckoning that goes back to the Financial Survivor Network, that goes back to why you like gold and alternatives, but maybe not for a while.
Yeah, you know, every dog has its day. You should never be married to one investment class. That's a mistake I made, being too focused on hard assets and to the exclusion. But I corrected that mistake back before COVID, and I've profited accordingly. I don't think the world is so wonderful. Everything's perfect. No, but learn from your mistakes.
Yep.
And keep an open mind where you allocate your assets.
Yep. Kerry Lutz, Financial Survival Network. We'll put the information on how to get in touch with you and see what you do and listen to what you have on the show notes for episode number 895. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Pleasure anytime. And we'll have you back on FSN shortly.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And that's going to wrap it up. A little bit shorter show than usual on the Disciplined Investor. Well, we're getting towards the end of the year, the holiday time. We're getting towards Thanksgiving, all that. Next week coming up, we got Frank Curzio. And he has a lot to say, I know that. So we'll make sure to make that a pretty darn good and full hour. But for now, I want to thank you for joining me this week and every week. I'll see you again real soon. Nothing discussed in this podcast should be considered a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Past performance is no indication of future results. In addition, the information presented is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should be construed as advice designed to meet the individual needs of any particular investor. Nothing herein constitutes legal, accounting, or tax advice, or individually tailored investment advice. Remember, investing involves substantial risk. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results, and a loss of original capital may occur. No one receiving or accessing this information should make any investment decision without first consulting his or her own personal financial advisor and conducting his or her own research and due diligence, including carefully reviewing any applicable prospectuses, press releases, reports, and other public filings of the issuer of any securities being considered. Please consider this for educational purposes only. As always, use your best judgment when investing. Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training. Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz & Company.